We're back.
Wake up.
We're okay. Here. Welcome to the show, Miss Donshai. How are you?
Well, how are you guys? First of all, I want to say Happy New Year to everybody. I really feel this is going to be a great year, and mainly because of the fact it's got an 11 in it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. It's
that 11 thing going on, I'm thinking, okay, now everyone can share the 11 thing. So I'm thinking this has got to be a great year for everybody. I'm happy for any year, and so many people are complaining about 2010, and they're saying they're done with it. Let's move on to the next one. I'm happy I experienced 2010 because I wouldn't have been here if I hadn't. So I'm just happy, you know, that I'm here. But now 2011 is going to be exciting because there's an 11 in it. So I'm hoping that it really, really brings, you know, good things to everyone.
Well, Don, the 2010 cost us both. You know, it's kind of funny It's kind of like every year you can almost put a price tag on it. And like 2008, 2009, 2010, them are some expensive years. I learned some valuable lessons, but I should have gone to college again.
Yeah, I'm still paying. I'm still paying on 2010. As a matter of fact,
it's me
so
too.
I got to figure out. Yeah, I got to figure out how to deal with that in 2011. But it is a lesson to be learned, Todd. Yeah, and I think we both found that out the hard way.
Well, that's okay because now that we've learned that lesson, 2011 will be better.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
We graduated.
Yeah. Yes, we done graduated and figured out you got to charge the people and make sure you got their money. You know, or you're left holding the bag. And that's pretty much what I was doing. And if I hadn't had a couple of friends that, stepped in and really helped me out, my event would not have gone on, the one that I'm still paying on.
Yep,
and that's
yep.
who I'm paying back is these people that stepped in and helped me out. Because I had so many people, you know, just crashing the doors, figuring I don't have to pay. I know these people and hanging around and doing their thing. And they had just as much fun as everybody else, but they refused to pay the ticket. And I had all the expenses. So if
Welcome
it weren't for some really, really, really dear friends that are like family to me, that event would not have gone on. And they felt that there was so much work put into it, they couldn't see it fail. And so, you know, there are some really, really good people, and that's who I have to thank. And they know who they are, and it wouldn't have happened without them. So I did learn some lessons. And maybe, you know, 2010 was a year to learn lessons.
I think it was a culmination of the other 2 years before it, and they all kind of collided at the beginning of 2010, rode each other's backs all the way through, kicked me in the ass about 12 times, and I learned a couple of lessons, and that was that. But you're right, yep.
It kicked you right in the bat briefs, huh?
That's right, right in the bat briefs. That kicked me in my bat britches.
There's that visual again.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, but we have learned some lessons. But you know what? That's the whole point of every year that we live is learning a few lessons here and there.
I agree.
And maybe trying to figure out how to get along, how to work with everybody, try to figure out the answers we want to find out, and learn how to run these events so you get your money.
Well, I don't think we have too much of a problem. I mean, we seem to get along with everybody, but you know what? You can't please everybody all the time. That's one of the lessons I learned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And,
but you
and
can piss everybody off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh, all that does all you have to do that's have a Thanksgiving show with Auntie Griff and Uncle Tim.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was something else. Anyway.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. I was like, oh, my God, where am I?
I was in the Twilight Zone times 12. It was like.
I was just going to say the Twilight Zone, but that was something else. And, you know, I really got to give some kudos to PC because she just handled it like a champ. No matter what happened, she handled it like a champ with the grace that she always does.
And I
kept thinking, that poor woman.
And then afterwards, the poor producer. What? I didn't
Why
do it.
Why couldn't you throw them out of the studio? What's wrong with you?
I didn't do it. It was like Linda Blair entered the building suddenly. I had spinning heads and green stuff flying. It was just like, hello.
Yeah, I bet the next day the crew had to come in and clean up all that pea soup. It must have been nuts.
It was absolutely terrifying. I'm going back to my bat cave. Let you guys have it.
Okay.
You just
nice
want to go back
to
the bat brief butt dance.
Don't make fun of my bat britches. I'm eating me some taters. And I'll do some bat britches.
I'll go put mustard
Get you
on
some mustard
taters.
With them.
Oh my goodness. Thanks. Nice talking to you, Todd. Well, yeah, there's like I was saying, you know, so much that we've learned, and I think there's been a lot of bridges that we've all crossed, and I think that's not only in the paranormal field, but in a lot of other fields as well. And there's so much going on right now that, I don't know, like the apocalypse is going on. I mean, you've heard about the Arkansas thing. With the birds flying from falling from the sky and the fish dying.
But and now they're saying that's from those birds died of totally natural causes. Right. That's what officials are saying.
And then what about
how
the fish?
Stupid do you think we are?
Yeah. And is it like from that movie, you know, the Sword in the Stone, where the little bird says, well, I could fall in love with a fish, but where would we live? So were they in love, and because the birds died, the fish said, I'm not hanging around? No, something's going on. It's a little bit more than natural causes when that many birds at the same time, and fish. You know, so we're talking about the air and water. I don't know what's going on there. And then I had a guest on last night, because I've kind of shifted over to do some UFO things, and he was talking about... a lot of people don't know it, but there's apparently a fountain or a body of water or something right outside the Capitol, and there's a lot of ducks that visit there. And on a number of occasions, they found all the ducks dead.
Oh, really?
And then he also mentioned that at one point there was an incident where something flew into that body of water, and they can't explain what it was. And since that episode, they've been finding it at different periods that all the ducks in this water have been found dead. So, you know, you really got to wonder what's going on. And you really got to wonder, you know, so many things that we don't know or understand. There's greater things going on that we know. You know what I mean? It just kind of blows me away. And we're trying to get answers, you know, to people or spirits on the other side. And there's so much more, like with Bigfoot was in the chat room earlier. He had to leave. He had no audio. But like with the cryptids and then with the UFOs and then the USOs, the ones that are the undersea objects. And you got to figure this stuff's been going on for a long time and all of us are interested. But, you know, we'll never find these answers because this stuff is like way beyond everybody. You know, there may be somebody that's a higher thing or something that knows what's going on, but the fascination for us is trying to find the answers. But I got a feeling there's some stuff that we'll never find the answers.
And it seems like other countries like China and Russia, they more adopt the UFO and kind of try to keep it less under wraps than our government does.
Well, from what Sid was saying, Russia has their own governmental paranormal investigation deal.
Yeah, they have a division. They do have a division where they focus more on it than we do. And I think with the United States is that when they started saying, oh, no, we no longer investigate this, I think they're telling us that. But I think they've really got people out there that are seriously still investigating this. They just don't want us to know. You know, so there's so much information in this case I had last night. We barely touched the surface, and there's so much dealing with the UFOs and disinformation and all this. And then when you factor in this Arkansas thing, and it's happening in more places than just Arkansas.
I remember there was a period of time here where we had the birds were a specific bird. I think it was the crows. They were getting some kind of virus. Mm-hmm. And if you found a crow laying on the ground, you were supposed to bag it, use gloves to pick it up and bag it, and then mm-hmm. take it to the local DNR. I don't remember off the top of my head what that was called. Mm-hmm. But
isn't it funny? They had a procedure. They had a procedure for you.
Right.
So
right.
Why would they have developed a procedure unless there was something they were aware of?
But they weren't falling out of the sky like these birds are. And these birds are dying in piles.
Yeah, yeah.
According to what I read.
Yeah, and that's so sad when I think about it, because I think these are little free spirits and little free creatures, and what could possibly be happening that would cause them to just drop from the sky and die in piles like that? And so many things are going on all around the world that maybe we don't hear about all of it, or maybe it's just, you know, stories that are kept within a region or whatever. And that's what's difficult. But the opening of the internet, I think, really has allowed... I mean, it would have taken us forever to find out about this in the old days. But the internet...
It would have been 2-3 weeks later.
Or if that much. You know, it might have been a couple months. So, you know, with the internet, we can share so much information. But then also, I think the internet's being monitored for the information that we're sharing. And so then you get those people that are throwing in that disinformation, and then you're getting the people that are trying to bring out the truth, and then you're getting the people that are just trying to figure out the answers. So the internet, I think, is a really great thing, but then you have to sit there and sort through what is real? What can I believe and what can't I? And that's right. How it is with a lot of the evidence that you search for on the internet, looking to see what can I believe and what is faked, and oh my God, where can I find some answers? So I got a feeling that we're even maybe growing out of the internet, because so many people pull so many things where then you get to a point where, okay, I can't trust anybody or believe any of this. Now where do you go to? I mean, the internet is worldwide. So now what's the next step? How do we actually go to where we can figure out who can we count on and what information can we count on? And that's got to do with any information, not just only the paranormal, but I mean like any information. Because now we all have the scamming and all this stuff going on. It's starting to blow me away. So maybe 2012 is coming around, because it's going to end the internet and we're all going to have to go back to the way it used to be in the old West times.
Well, when that happens, I'll start writing letters, guys. I promise.
You know what? Start collecting those stamps.
Yeah. But by then they will be worthless, because it'll be 99 cents a stamp.
Start doing the show through Morse code.
There you go.
They'll be $2.11. So
right.
Oh, geez. I don't know. So, it's a curious thing being alive and you know, witnessing all this stuff. And I look back on where I came from, and, you know, when I first moved to California, where I'm living now, I moved here in 1968. And I remember we dialed four numbers to get someone else on the phone. I mean, it was just four numbers. And I thought, well, you know, that's cool. And then all of a sudden we were told, no, now you have to dial the first three and then the four, you know. And I thought, oh, this is too many numbers. And then they said, now we have to dial the area code and the first three and then the four numbers that you know. And then it started breaking off into all this. And then that's when things started becoming wild, because I'm like, well, this is just too much information. I just want to dial four numbers. I just want those four numbers to get a hold of my friend. I want to talk to Yvette, you know. So it's just unbelievable how it has how everything has progressed. And now you look at the numbers that we all have on IP addresses, and then everything we want to get into and find out and talk to people, you got to put in a secret code and you got to put in your name and this code. And I don't know what we're going to have to know to get into anything else that we're going to, the way it's progressing, it's going to get to a point where our heads are going to explode. I'm thinking that
it'll be just retinal scans and thumbprints.
Exactly. And then I remember looking at the internet and seeing that, you know, now you can actually go online and order your groceries. You can order movies. You can order anything, have it sent to your home. And I imagined at one point, I was thinking of people just sitting in a chair, and they're these little gray things like the aliens, because you don't get out, you don't do exercise, you don't get sun, you don't do anything, and you sit on the internet all day long and do it telepathically and order everything you want to be delivered to you. And that's how the grays began. That's all I can think. Because it's all become so computer internet-y stuff. It's just blown me away. It really, and I'm really appreciating being around here to experience all this, but I'm wondering, where are we going?
Well, and then when you have kids that are trying to figure out what they want to do with their futures, my first response is make sure it's a physical contact type, you know, job, like a veterinarian or, you know, a vet's assistant or a doctor, that something that can't be replaced by automation.
Exactly. And you know, that's a good point, because you do have the young ones, and I'm sure you must be concerned about, well, where's that going? Because if people are just sitting behind video games and computers, you know, we're going to make ourselves non-existent. I
mean, seriously, as crazy as the economy has gotten, my oldest son works at a farm. He puts in quite a few hours and still manages to pull off the grades. I don't know how he does it. He's an alien. But anyway, when the economy really hit bottom, they were needing people for milking. And they couldn't believe, I talked to the owner of the farm, they couldn't believe how many college-educated people, I mean, we're talking at least 6 years of college, wow, had applied for that milking job. And wow, it, I mean, it is that bad that mm-hmm, these educated people are turning to the farms for employment.
Right, right. Yeah, it's unbelievable to me, too. But you know what? At the same point, that gives them experience, maybe not what they were looking for, but it gives them experience that kind of take them back to, you know, the simpler way and making them right, appreciate other things. So maybe it's supposed to be that way. I don't know. But whoever has created this entire game that we call life, they really had a plan. And I don't understand it. But I just am amazed when I sit back and watch it. You know, I just really am amazed when I sit back and watch it. And that's one of the reasons I get so upset when I'm hearing, you know, that all of us trying to find these answers about the paranormal and everything, then everyone starts getting the egos and they're putting other people down and we have the people fighting. And it's like, don't you guys look at the big picture, what we're all involved in? And right, it's like when, you know, like when Reagan had mentioned something about, you know, if I can't remember the exact wording, but he had mentioned in a speech a couple of different times about how if our planet were to be under attack from something not of this world, I think that's when the world will all band together as brothers, something to that effect. And so I'm thinking, yeah, maybe it would take something like that for everybody to quit this petty crap and get along and figure out we're all in a way bigger game than this paranormal game. I mean, it's a big deal, and I don't think people are realizing they're getting sucked into this computer, and they're getting sucked into many other things. And so I'm just hoping people will, in the year 2011, kind of sit back and take a look at, well, really, what am I doing, and what am I accomplishing, and where is this going? And right, I'm thinking that's paranormal in itself, because what's controlling all this? What's making us all go this way and do this? And I don't know. So I had a little bit of thought of that because this weekend for the New Year's, I was kind of under the weather. So I kind of was here, and all I wanted to do was get to the computer, and I actually made myself not, because I thought I can't get into it because I really don't feel good. And actually, after the 2 or 3 days that I was away from the computer, I had a different mindset in my mind. I felt totally different, like I wasn't being controlled by something. So it just sounds like a sci-fi movie to me. But after I had those couple of days away, I thought, oh, my God, it could be a Twilight Zone thing. Like maybe we're being controlled and we really have no idea that we are. So I think it's great for people that go out and do like the jobs you're talking about, something where it's physical, you know, vets, assistants, doctors, where you're contacting people, because we're isolating ourselves from each other when we're sitting here focusing on this one thing. And I mean, I felt kind of bad where instead of calling my kids up, I'm texting them. And I get done texting and I'm thinking, God, that was so stupid. I could have just called her up. It's my daughter.
I know, it's crazy. It's the craziest thing. Even camping. I couldn't, when we went camping this last summer, mm-hmm, I'm sitting at, you know, in my lawn chair, just looking up at the trees and enjoying the breeze and the day and the sun. And I'm looking at my three kids going, cell phone, cell phone, yeah, cell phone. You go fishing. You find, go find some sticks for the fire. And I don't care what you do, but put that darn phone down. For crying out loud. I'm like, we are here to get away from it all. Not take it with us.
Yeah, we're enjoying nature. Now stop it.
Like, you've got to be kidding me. And yeah, I think somewhere there is a picture of them sitting in virtually the same position with their phones in their hands, and I'm going, thinking to myself, and I paid, you know, $50 a night for what?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Outside on your cell phone. Mm-hmm. So yeah, mm-hmm, it's crazy.
So see, great, that's an example. That's totally an example. And I've driven down the road and I've seen like 4 or 5 people in a car, and here's all these people close knit in a little car where they should be talking to each other and interacting. And you look at them and all the driver's not, but the 4 people in the car are all looking at their cell phones and texting. It's like, you have people to talk to right there. So I don't know. I'm thinking maybe, this is just something I've been thinking, but I'm thinking maybe we need to look at what's going on and how we're being controlled here by something. And
you know, my daughter too just got a Facebook, and of course, mm-hmm, they said, well, of course I'm going to be on your friends list. I want your password. I want your sign-in information. Mommy's on it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, while she's sitting in the next room sending me things on my Facebook, and I'm like, can't you just come through the door?
Yeah.
And tell me you love me. You know? I mean, seriously. Can't you just come through the door? Say, Mom, I love you.
I've done that with my daughter.
It is sweet, but, you know.
I just miss the old days where, you know, that small frame of time when we had that caller ID came out and we had answer machines. And if you wanted to avoid somebody, all you had to do was look at the caller ID. You could leave the whole weekend. And now it's like, they know where you're at every second. You're doing Facebook status. You're doing. You got your cell phone on you.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting all pissed if you don't talk. Call them back. You know, I know you had your phone on you and all that.
Exactly. And you know what? I remember the days before the voice machines. You know, where you can leave a message. That if you were out, you'd go home and you'd think, I wonder if anybody called. So you'd wait for the phone to ring. And that's when you talk to somebody. You didn't know who called. You didn't know who you missed. You got home. And then when the voice, you know, mail or the little boxes where they could record messages, those came out, then you raced home to look to see how many messages you have. And then it all began. I remember it was so easy when you just go home and you'd wait for the phone. You know, if the phone rang, you answered it, and then you talked to somebody. So,
you know, my kids freak out when I tell them I had to use a phone that had a cord on it.
Yeah.
and we'd sit and stretch that cord when nobody was looking so we could try to get to another room.
Right.
You know,
right.
We were attached to that wall. So,
I remember when we used to have to put our finger in the hole and the notches would go around. It was a rotary dial.
Yeah, a rotary dial.
You look at kids now and say, yeah, well, we had a rotary dial. What is a rotary dial? You know, they most of them don't even know what a record is.
My grandma still had a rotary phone till the day she died.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Bless her poor heart.
Yeah, yeah.
She just did not want to give up what she was used to. I mean, you know.
Exactly. That's the thing I'm talking about. And tying this into the paranormal, because it is Parachallenge Radio, is a lot of people going out with such high-tech equipment. The people that we're dealing with, they were attached to rotary phones. They were attached to records. They were attached to something simple. They were, you know, and you
unless they died yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Now there might be some people that are used to this stuff, but why not approach them with a simpler way? In fact, some of the people that might have died yesterday might like the simpler way. So I don't know. I think we all have to try different ways, to approach spirits. But I think we all have to try different ways to approach everything we do, because I think we're losing touch with people in general. And I think that's where people are starting to get this, you know, apprehension about other people, and then the animosity begins, and, you know, we're all people. And I think we're forgetting that, because we all have little avatars and we have a keyboard and we have power. So it's just bizarre to me. And I think it's I feel like living in a sci-fi movie.
But some things are really cool. And I'm going to bring up as an example, Fran's engagement and Patrick and Marley's engagement.
Yes, yes.
I mean, without this thing, we wouldn't have a chance to share in that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Now, the good things like that, yeah, I can see that. But when we're using it as a weapon against people, putting down people, picking on their evidence, you know, doing crap like that, I really hate that. But when you're getting good news about wonderful things like that, it's just like, oh my God, this is amazing. I it would have been weeks before I knew this.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, and if we, and that's like in the movies when they say we need to use this for the greater good. You know, let's not use it for evil. So, you know, it can be, it's a double-edged sword kind of thing, but it can be so useful. But now so many people are just mucking it up with crap and stuff that this should have been a blessing to everyone to have such. I mean, we can talk to someone on the other side of the world real time in a chat room, and they speak a different language, but they'll type in a chat room to us. We're talking to someone in China. We're talking to someone in Australia. It's amazing the contact that we have with people, and it's immediate, and that's amazing. But also, the crap that people are throwing out there are immediate. And that's what I think a lot of people have taken this. Like, there's always people that take everything that seems to be good for people, and they have to ruin it with something. There always has to be garbage or filth or, you know, porn or whatever. They couldn't leave it to just hear the great news about your friends being engaged. So I don't know. I'm I'm trying to be a little bit cautious now and just sticking to close things that I feel like are family, like Pair Challenge Radio and the chat room and, you know, meeting up with people like that. But I'm hoping that people will have, you know, a little bit of thought about, you know, what we're doing with this, because once it's out there on the internet, it's there forever.
Right.
And I would prefer, personally, this is just my own thing, I would prefer it to be wonderful things. I mean, we're all alive and living, and I'm thinking just to put wonderful things out there to share with people, that this is the greatest gift of all, to be able to do it worldwide, you know, in real time. So I'm just hoping that in the year 2011, people will consider other people more and maybe think that, you know, everyone's got something to offer. It doesn't matter if they're not on your same wavelength, whatever. Everyone's here with a certain thing to offer something. And
right.
We all just got to appreciate that and, you know, figure, like, you've got this show going because you're trying to find answers for things that happened to you. And that's a sharing thing. So I think that's good. But there's just so many people that are using it for evil.
Right.
You know, and those are the ones that upset me. But
then there are those that use it for discussions about tidy whities and granny panties.
Yeah. This is true. And also the bat briefs.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, there's humor that you can share and it's fun and you connect with so many people. Because, geez, you guys, how far away are you from me? I'm in California. Hello. Could we be talking? You know, it would be mail. So it's a wonderful gift. And I really hope more people would concentrate on using it for the greater good and connecting with people and maybe trying to find out a little bit about these people that, you know, you might not agree with. Like I've always said, you know, you may not agree with everything someone says, but take a listen and pick out the parts that maybe you're interested in. They might even offer you something that might help you in what you're trying to do. So I don't know.
Just taking a minute and saying, explain to me your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to hurt. I promise.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you just give it a minute and you know, hear their point of view, it's you know, it's just taking a minute and giving a minute.
And there's parts. I mean, you know, like when you read a book, especially if it's an educational book, okay, you read all this and sometimes you're bored, but then also there's going to be a page where you go, oh my God, I never thought about that. And maybe you forget the rest of the book, but you pulled something out of that book and learned something. And I'm thinking that's the same way people should be with people. If you're not agreeing with them or you feel you don't get along, just listen to what they have to say, because they may have something that, I don't know, that it just might spark a thought in your head or maybe bring some knowledge to something you've been trying to figure out. You don't have to accept everything they say, but listen to what they say, because they might have one little piece that just puts the pieces of a puzzle together for you.
Absolutely.
So So this all came to me, you know, being sick on the couch for New Year's, but I kept focusing on the new year and all the people and so many people that I care about and so many people that I've learned from and that have shared stuff with me and that I've pulled pieces out and thought, oh my God, I never thought about that. And then I'm just starting to realize, you know, that there's so many people out there that are so amazing. And that's what I really love. And I think if I were not alive and enjoying this, you know, the people, them being here, it would be worthless for me to be stuck in a cave all by myself and not have shared any of these people. So I think there's a reason we're all here. And I think it's supposedly to be joining together in some way. And I think once we all get together and realize that we're all valid human beings and we're all here for a reason, like we're all pieces of a puzzle, and if we work together, that puzzle's going to come to light and we're all going to see what's going on and what we're here for, then, you know, I know this sounds sappy, but it was a 2011 thing that I thought of, and I've just been thinking about the people.
Well, one thing I got to be thankful for, my technology, is when that clock rang midnight, I was able to send my texts out to everybody. Yes. I was on my contact list and tell them Happy New Year. I mean, it's, you know, little things like that, you know, bring
exactly.
you joy.
And see, you wouldn't have been able to. And then remember the old days when you're dialing the phone, ring, 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 ring. Some people answered, some people didn't. And the texts were cool. And I got your text and said Happy New Year's to you, too.
I saw that.
Now, see, some of the technology is we use it for good and connection. And and that's awesome. I'm not saying it's all bad, but
I know.
I'm just wishing that people would use it for more good instead of deciding to rip people apart or rip apart their evidence or, you know, that guy's an idiot and he don't know what he's doing and, you know, all this stuff. It's like, let's stop this and let's start putting out some more positive things out there and make it a more positive tool for us to all maybe get together, because a lot of the people that I know and that are friends of mine on Facebook and MySpace and Twitter and here in this chat room and on my show and in my chat room, a lot of these people are people that I would not normally just run into and know personally. But I get to know little bits and pieces as I talk to them in a chat room or I talk to them on Facebook or whatever. And so it does bring us a little bit closer to people, but I just want it to stay as a more positive thing.
Right.
You know, it that's just sappy, but that's the way I'm feeling in 2011.
A lot less drama.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's go drama free. Although we all have our moments, I think, when stuff gets to us and people look at us sideways and we're all just kind of growling and chomping at the bit a little bit, whatever it may be. And, you know.
But then also people got to realize, hey, she's having a bad moment. Let it go. And then don't hold it against her for the rest of her life. You know, everybody has a bad moment or something they want to say. And I think that's great because that's what makes us human. But that doesn't mean, okay, I can't stand her because she said that and I'll never speak to her again. That's what I can't handle.
Boy, if I had to worry about some of this stuff I end up typing, boy, nobody'd be talking to me.
Too funny.
And you know, every time I type it and I hit the okay thing or whatever, post or whatever it says, I'm always thinking this is going to go wrong somehow.
Yeah.
I can feel it. It's just going to go wrong. And it always does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You read it two or three times and say, did I just really type that?
Yeah.
Did I type that out loud?
Should I remove that post or should I leave it and see where it goes?
Yeah, it's so funny. And it's just a human quality. I mean, we all have that. And the spirits that we're dealing with, they have those same human qualities. And I'm hoping that if these aliens, and we can get a little closer to this, if they have somewhat of a human quality, they too will want to join in.
And whatever it is that's happening in Arkansas, are they really going to be, in your opinion, upfront and honest about what's actually going on?
You know, in my personal opinion, and I hope I don't hear helicopters over my house as my guest had at his house, but in my personal opinion, or opinion, I think that this has happened and then the news leaked and they're discussing it. But I got a feeling that somehow behind the scenes, there's going to be, let's just say, officials, I'm not going to say from where, that will start to squash this. You know, and try to downplay it like it's nothing or make explanations or whatever. And that's kind of like the Roswell thing where that one guy, he put out that news release that saucer found on a farm, blah, blah, blah. And it was just, you know, they up to it. And then the next day, for some reason, someone had put out the word that, no, we can't do that. And then they're saying, oh, they were mistaken. It was a weather balloon. So I think it's going to be one of those type of things. And somewhere somebody is researching this or maybe knows what caused it, but they're not going to let it be out for everybody to know. Because once we know everything, whoever they are, the big guys or the controllers, they lose control of us.
Right.
And that's why I'm feeling like a sci-fi movie. And that's what we discussed last night. And I really feel that. It's like we can't know everything because once we do and we know as much or more as they do, whoever they are, then they lose control of us. And that's
just like that swine flu epidemic. I remember having to go into being called into the school, having to sign a form saying whether or not I wanted my children to be vaccinated and whatever for this swine flu deal. And, you know, after careful consideration, talking it over with my doctor, because I told him right then and there, I'm not going to have my kid vaccinated, any one of them, until I've talked to my physician. And, you know, I was like, I'm not sure. Well, his opinion was it's probably relatively safe. Go ahead and do it. Well, I no more than signed the paper. All of a sudden, they never got their shipment of vaccinations.
Oh, isn't
so
that funny?
It kind of seemed a little bit strange to me that all of a sudden it was so urgent and then it wasn't.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly.
And then it just completely fell off the grid, you know, the topic list. It was gone.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That brings to mind that image that from the show The X-Files, when they found out they were being tracked and all this was going on, and they found that room of files that went forever and ever and ever, and they found Scully's name on a card, and it had turned out she had the tracking device on her. And it's just like they've got to keep track of you. They've got to know everything, and then they push they push your buttons. This is very important. You got to do this right now. And then, oh, okay, thanks for signing. Oh, okay, well, no, it's not urgent anymore. What's that all about? When it was so urgent to get these vaccinations, and then it becomes just, you know, yesterday's news.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm putting a little bit more thought into. This year, but at the same time, I'm easing off on overthinking things, because I'm just really, really happy to be here and just really happy. When I wake up in the morning, I'm going, oh my God, thank you. I got another chance. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I got another chance.
Boy, I tell you what, the day I wake up and find myself dead, I'm going to be really ticked off.
Yeah, I could imagine that. So that's true. That's true. Yeah, and then when you find yourself floating over your body and it's like, oh man, but I had this to do today.
I was having an awesome dream, darn it. Put me back.
I was going to get those new boots today. What's wrong with you?
cruel, whatever.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just a thought that came to my mind. But I know we're probably running out of time. But there was something else I wanted to mention as well. Well, you know my buddies, the Booth Brothers, and they came out with that amazing movie, you know, The Haunted Boy, that was the true story behind The Exorcist. I don't know if you people have noticed, but yet I saw yet another one. They've got like two or three movies now coming out that are like all about The Exorcist. And I'm thinking, no. The Booths, they worked 5 years on this film. Who do you think you are? And now they're making, you know, the unreal things. And I'm thinking the Booth Brothers led that whole thing because someone got wind of what they were doing. And now I just saw another one called The Rite. And it's got that guy that played Hannibal Lecter.
Anthony Hopkins.
Yes. And he's the one that apparently is possessed in this one. So there's the third movie I've seen, and then we had the one, it's called The Last Exorcism, and then I saw another one, something about exorcisms, and then this one, it's called, I believe, The Rite. I mean, they all look fabulous, but I'm thinking, okay, where did they get this idea? The Booth Brothers worked on that film for 5 years, blood, sweat, and tears, and brought things home, and struggled, and had problems in their lives because of what they did to bring that information out. And now we're going to watch movies that they're made up. So I want people to check out the Booth Brothers, The Haunted Boy, you know, because they work so hard on that. And I'm noticing that. And there's a lot more movies coming out with a paranormal theme and kind of horror, but more paranormal. So and they're not real. So the people that are out there enjoying the real thing, you know, we watch these movies. I still think they're fascinating, but I don't think we should make fun of them. It's because someone's trying to bring to light what they think it's all about, hunting the paranormal. So. Right. You know, I don't know. We're going to see how 2011 goes. I'm just happy to wake up in the morning and just see what comes my way. And I know someone, what was it, Anne-Marie in the chat room was saying, I feel like singing Kumbaya. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be so mushy, but it's really honestly what I feel. And I generally like to, you know, I try to be
genuine. Well,
yeah, genuine. I say what's on my mind. And
that's you are the genuine article.
Yeah, and I care so much about people, and I would just like us all to band together rather than group off in little groups. So sing Kumbaya if you want to, but I just want to wish everybody a happy 2011. It's got 11 in it, so it's going to be a good year for everybody.
Absolutely. I certainly hope so.
And a happy new year to you, too.
And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
it's got to get better because it really can't get much worse.
Yeah, well, you can't say that because once you say that,
seriously, it can't get much worse. Or I will wake up and find myself dead in the morning, and then I'll be really ticked off.
That's so funny.
Well, if you're gonna bite the dust, be sure you ain't got the granny panties on.
You know what? Yeah. But no, you can guarantee, Brian, you will. I'm going to do something, and I've said this before. When I die, I will prove the paranormal exists. The other side exists because you'll see on the news, I'm going to pants 5,000 people. And Brian, you're number one on that list.
Okay, so if we start seeing people's pants just fall down all over the place, we're going to.
For no reason, it's me.
We're going to know you're gone, huh?
Exactly, because everybody wears different kind of pants. They can't blame it on the manufacturer. So you'll know it's me.
Oh, that is too funny.
I will put an end to this problem once and for all.
Oh, that is too funny. Well, I totally enjoy you. You know I do, and I'm always here for you. I love coming on this show. You have such a great sense of humor, and also the caring that you have for people. I really got to appreciate that. So I really want to thank you for allowing me to be a part of Parachallenge Radio.
I love having you as a part of it. I look forward to talking with you every time, and I was like, did I give her enough warning this time to remind her it was the first Tuesday of the month that I saw you posted? Oh, no. Is it the first Tuesday of the month already? I'm like, uh-oh.
No, I just thought, oh, man, I got to get something ready. But, you know, I can always think of something to talk about. But
you are just so easy to talk with. It's fabulous having you on. I really totally enjoy it every time you're on.
Well, I appreciate it. And next time I'm going to come on with some just fabulous news. I will bring fabulous news.
Fabulous.
So, you know, maybe, yeah, talking about some things that are coming up. And I know I'm speaking at a number of events this year, which I'm really excited about. And what I'm doing is going out and just presenting the weirdest evidence that I've captured that I have no experience for. And I'm not going out and lecturing people on how to investigate. I'm not telling people what kind of equipment they should buy. I'm not telling them what a star I am. I am just telling them, I can't understand this. What do you think? And I show them my stuff.
Well, I hate to cut you off, doll, but we got to run.
Parachallenged Radio is a Jackalope Radio production, simulcast on ASPRN. Join us in the chat at www.parachallengedradio.com, or you can go to jackaloperadio.com in the shows area and click on the Parachallenged Radio banner.